It has always been and always will be the will of God to bless His covenant partners. God wants you blessed, and He wants me blessed. Let's look at for a minute at Psalm 115, beginning in verse 12. It says, "The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us." I like that. It doesn't say He might if He gets around to it. It says He will bless us. Then it lists the people He's going to bless. You ready? He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. Then it says He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. We got in on it in that verse. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. What this is talking about is to fear the Lord isn't being afraid of Him. It is to revere Him and worship Him with awe. All right? And then it says, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. And then He went on to say, you are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Verse 16, the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath He given to the children of men. Now, I want you to see something here. The Lord's will is to bless you. He will, the Bible says, bless you. If I'm not living in the blessing of the Lord, I am not in His will. Doesn't mean I've sinned. It just means there's an enemy out there stealing from me that which God wills to do in my life. I need to understand it is the will of God for me to be blessed. Many people walk under a curse because they don't know it's the will of God. Many people think that God wants them cursed, or God wants them poor, or God wants them to have a miserable life so they can have a good time in heaven. That's kind of what the other religions of the world say, that you suffer here, then God will help, then you can go to a better place later. But God wants us to be blessed here and there. It says He will bless us. He wants to increase us. I like this. He'll increase us and our children. We can be believing God for more for us and our children. It ought to be the desire of every parent that their children go further than they've gone. Every one of us needs to be in a place where we expect and believe for our kids to get way out there past us. But then it says, interesting, He talks about this blessing, and He says that the reason, He gives us a reason in verse 16, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath He given to the children of men. Now that's something. God's will is the same today as it was with Adam. God blessed Adam. He assigned him the task of expanding the Garden of Eden to cover the whole earth. God gave Adam the earth. He blesses us because He wants us to rule the earth. The earth belongs to God's people. Now, I understand, it's His by right of creation. It's His by right of the fact that He's going to come back and reclaim it, but in the meantime, He's leased it out to us, and He intends for us to run the planet with that blessing. That blessing of the Lord is what empowers or enables us to rule the planet the way God intends for it to happen. That is the will of God. The Bible says in Acts 3:26 that God sent Jesus to bless us. As believers, we are blessed. If you can't see it yet, you got to stay with it. We'll talk about that as we go tonight. We are the blessed. So we've been talking for several weeks now about the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord is more than something we say when someone sneezes. It's okay for you to say it, but it's not just bless you, which means I hope you don't die because you sneezed. It's more than just a few words that we say before we eat. Do you want to say the blessing? Well, it's more than that, even though we should speak and claim the blessing over what we eat, because we're claiming the blessing in our health. We're claiming all those as we pray. It's more than that. It's more than those little things. The blessing of the Lord is promised to each one of us, and we need to operate in the blessing of the Lord. Galatians 3, 13 and 14, we'll read it at the end tonight, but it informs us that Jesus became a curse for us so that we can live in the blessing of Abraham, which is the blessing of the Lord, and we've talked about that over the weeks. We're to be living in the blessing of the Lord. You and I are not cursed. You may have been cursed. You may think you're cursed. But the reality is, if you receive what God has done, you are not of the cursed. You are of the blessed. Jesus said we're not of the world any more than He is of the world. He wasn't cursed, and neither are we. We are not. We are not cursed. So far, over the weeks, we've seen many things. The blessing of the Lord is a confirmment from the mouth of the Lord upon us, and it not only gives us covenant standing with Him, but it empowers us to rise to the highest place of success in what He said. Whatever He said, He empowers us to do that. When God blessed Adam, He literally gave him rule over the whole planet. He said, "It is all yours. Take the garden, use the blessing, and make it all a garden." We saw Adam and Eve forsook the blessing given by God and gave in to Satan's deception. Satan cannot possess the blessing of the Lord because of his evil nature, because of who he is. And so now, through league with Satan, the blessing has been, they've come out from under the blessing and have stepped into the curse. Okay, the curse was not given by God, but it was released upon mankind because of sin. God didn't curse Adam. He simply announced that the curse was there. We saw the same blessing that was upon Adam was pronounced upon Noah and his sons. We found that Ham and Japheth did like Adam, and they failed to live in the blessing. But Shem continued to follow the Lord and perpetuated the blessing. We saw that the Lord pronounced the blessing on Abraham and selected him. We looked at last week at a scripture that God selected Abraham because he knew that he would teach the blessing to his children. God wanted to make sure he found somebody that he could give to bless, and they would take that and give it to their kids. We saw that after God pronounced the blessing upon Abraham, Melchizedek, who I believe is Shem, passed down to him what God had given to him from off the ark. He gave it to Abraham. And so we saw that he was blessed. Last week we saw Abraham was fully persuaded of the blessing of the Lord that was upon him, and it was demonstrated in the offering of Isaac. How that he didn't appear to even fret one little bit as he walked up there with Isaac, believing that God would raise him from the dead. We saw last week the blessing of the Lord in operation in the life of Isaac, how that Isaac was blessed just like his dad because God said, "I'm going to fulfill the oath that I promised your father in you." God was and is faithful to the bloodline. God has had a plan all along to choose a race of people so he could get the blessing or the hope of the gospel that he preached to Abraham. He wanted to get it to the Gentiles and the Jews through Jesus Christ so we could all be a part of his family. God's intent has been that way all along. So tonight, we're going to continue to look at this bloodline of the blessing of the Lord. We're going to just talk about the blessing continued, as the title is at the top of that screen there. So let's look at the blessing of the Lord. So we saw Isaac was blessed. And then we see, as you read through the scripture, you find that Isaac had twin sons, and their names were Jacob and Esau. Everybody knows that. He had twin sons, Jacob and Esau. Esau was the older one. He came out of the womb first. And the Bible says that Isaac loved Esau because he liked to eat his cooking. That's what it says in Genesis. He liked to eat his venison. Wouldn't that be terrible if that's the reason your father liked you more? It's because you were a better cook than your brother. He liked him better. He liked to eat his venison. But we know that the mama liked Jacob better. Now, when you read the account of the scripture, when Jacob was born, he came out of his mother's womb holding on to his brother's heel as if to say, "Hey, I want to be first. I want to possess the blessing that the firstborn gets. I want the birthright. He's holding on to his heel as if he's trying to pull him back in to the womb. But Jacob was loved by his mother. It's kind of like he was a mama's boy, and he apparently got a lot of his tricky ways from her, if you read in the scriptures. She's the one who hatched the plot of how he could get the blessing instead of his brother. The word Jacob means heel catcher. That's what it means. He caught the heel of his brother. It means supplanter or deceiver. Now, that's interesting. The word supplanter, when you look it up in an English dictionary, it means to supersede and to replace. To supplant is to oust somebody and replace them. Think about that. They named him the one who would take the place of somebody else. From the very beginning, they named him the one who would supplant his brother. It's no wonder the boy grew up trying to figure out a way to get the blessing, to get the birthright. They called him supplanter all of his life. They named him somebody who would take the place of somebody else. What they may not have understood was that he would take the place of his brother. But they called him that from the very beginning. That's what they said. Esau was a man who was very short-sighted and earthly-minded. He was all about the outdoors, all about killing stuff, which is not bad as long as you're killing it to eat it. All about, he smelled like the outdoors. He smelled like firewood. He smelled like all of that stuff. But we found in Genesis 25 that he was willing to trade his birthright to his younger brother Jacob for a bowl of beans. Jacob made a pottage, the Bible says, of lentils, which means he made bean soup. Jacob comes in from being out hunting and killing stuff, and obviously he didn't kill anything this day, and he was hungry. The Bible says he said that he was fainting. And he said, I want some of your bean soup. And Jacob said, I'll tell you what I'll do. If you will give me your birthright, I'll give you a bowl of beans. And to Esau, who must not have been very bright, that seemed like a good deal. And so he traded his birthright. Now, the birthright was simply what was the right of the oldest son. The oldest son got a double portion of the inheritance. And he was the one who was to bear the father's name to future generations. And so Jacob says to him, I'll tell you what, I'll give it to you, but you give me the double portion. That doesn't even make any sense to me, that you would trade the double portion of your daddy's stuff, who is rich, the Bible said. We saw last week, he was so rich that the rich people called him rich. And now Esau thinks it's a good deal to get a bowl of beans and to give a double portion of that inheritance to his brother who could cook beans. Wow. Does that make sense? It said he was faint. When you get faint, S-word things make sense. When you get faint, you will do things that everyone else around you can see is not very smart. How do you get faint? Well, I'll tell you how you get faint. Number one, you quit praying. Number two, you get out of the Word. Number three, you get out of fellowship. Number four, you could quit tithing and giving. All of those in the Scripture are connected to faintness. And when those things begin to happen to you, you get faint. And the devil will come in and sell you a bowl of beans for your inheritance. And you'll give it up freely if you're faint. Because when you're faint, silly things make sense. I mean, here he is. Esau thought he was making a good deal. He thought he was going to die. But he wasn't going to die. And Jacob wouldn't have let him die. But he said, I'll do it for that. So, now, Jacob owns Esau's birthright. I'm thinking, though, that from the time Jacob grabbed Esau's heel at birth, he had his eye on the blessing that would be handed down by his father. Somehow he probably figured, if I have the birthright, now my father's going to bless me. He didn't figure out on that one day Isaac would say to Esau, go out and get me a deer, make me some venison, and make me your venison soup or stew or whatever, and bring it back to me, and I'll give you the blessing. And then the mama overhears it. Rebecca, she hears it. And she says, she runs to Jacob, and she says, hey, your dad is getting ready to give the blessing to Esau. And boy, I know you want that blessing. And so she says, here's what you do, Jacob. You pretend you're him. He says, how can I do that? Man, this mama had it all figured out. He said, I'm not hairy like my brother. So they put lamb's wool on him. They put Esau's clothes on him so it'd smell like Esau. The mama made the meat or the food the way Esau, because she must have taught Esau how to make it. And he goes in and deceives his father. Jacob, however, did not say, no, mama, I can't do that. He's like, yeah, mama, let's do that. Because Jacob wanted the blessing, and he wanted it badly. He desired this blessing. He knew how important the blessing of the Lord was. He wanted it and was willing to deceive somebody to get it. Here's the sad part. He didn't have to do that. He was already the seed of Abraham. He already could possess the blessing. He didn't have to do anything underhanded. He could have just received it by faith, but he didn't. If they'd have both lived by faith, Jacob and Esau, they both could have received the blessing and lived in it. But you know how the story, he stole the blessing from Isaac. Here's what the Bible says. This is part of that blessing as Isaac is blessing Jacob, thinking that he's Esau. This is in Genesis chapter 27, verse 29. It says, Here's what Isaac says. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. The Lord, be Lord over thy brethren. Let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Now look at this next part. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Does that sound familiar to you? That's what God told Abraham. He said, if they bless you, they're blessed. If they curse you, they're cursed. Here is Isaac, the one who carried the blessing from Abraham. And now he's giving the blessing, which is irrevocable. He's giving it to his son Jacob, thinking it's Esau, but he's giving him the blessing. I mean, it was the blessing. That is what Jacob wanted. He wanted to receive the blessing of the Lord. He wanted it bad enough to steal it. Here's the sad part of this story. Though he got it from Isaac, he had to run for his life from Esau. He got it. The dad gave it to him, and now he's running for his life. And I'm thinking, well, if I'm God, I'm done with him. If I'm God, I'm through with him. But God was determined to keep the oath that he made with Abraham. He's determined to have a blessed people through which he can have the blessed Redeemer to put the blessing on all men. He's determined to do that. And he saw that Esau thought little of the blessing, thought little of his inheritance, thought little of those things. He saw that Jacob was a man who had faith in the blessing of the Lord. Even though he had no idea how to live in it, it was worth it to him to get the blessing because he knew it was his answer to life. He got it wrongly, but God saw in Jacob this man who valued the blessing of God. And so God let it happen. Now, we're going to move on here. After Jacob left there, Esau's, you know, going to kill him, and Esau vowed that if he saw him again, he would kill him. So we're going to look here in Genesis chapter 28 is where I'm going to. Genesis chapter 28, beginning in verse 12. All right, so he's running from him. He has come to a place where he's camping overnight. And these verses are pretty familiar to us. Genesis chapter 28, we're going to begin reading in verse 12. It says, and he, Jacob, dreamed a dream, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. We know this to be what we call Jacob's ladder. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Now this is an interesting passage of Scripture. It sounds like the same thing he said to Abraham, doesn't it? He said, I'm going to make your descendants like the dust of the ground. They're going to have, as far as you can see, in the north, the south, the east, the west. I'm giving you this land. I'm giving it all to you. He said, from you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. That's what he told Abraham. He said, from your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Obviously, he's talking about the blessing getting all the way to Jesus so that Jesus could bless us and bring us into this supernatural blessing. He said, man, I'm going to bless you the way I blessed Abraham. The blessing is now continually. That's interesting. God, at this minute, Jacob, remember, he's asleep on the rock. He has the vision. God says, I'm going to bless you. And it's interesting. God now is freely giving this blessing to Jacob, even though he tried to get it by deception. God's now just giving it to him freely. He's asleep and God's giving it to him. He's running away from Jacob and God is giving him the blessing. God says to him, you know what? You're going to return here one of these days and you're going to see the blessing. See, we need to understand the blessing of God is not ours by some act of the flesh, but it is ours by faith. We're not going to be blessed because of our works. We're going to be blessed because we believe what God has said to us. God freely bestowed the blessing upon him. He didn't work for it. God gave it to him as he's asleep on a rock. And he saw the interaction between heaven and earth. Then, down in verse 20 of that very same chapter, it says, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I can come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Now, this is fascinating to me. The tithe, once again, is connected to the blessing. We saw it connected with Adam. We saw it connected with Noah. We saw it connected with Abraham. We saw it connected with Isaac. And now here's Jacob. The blessing comes, and all of a sudden he says, if you'll do all this stuff, I'm going to tithe. I'll give you a tenth. I'll give you a tenth of everything I have. He's doing what Abraham did, doing what Isaac did. He promises to tithe. Now here's something interesting. God blessed him and worked with him when Isaac promised to tithe. I mean, Jacob. Jacob hadn't tithed yet, but he promised he would tithe. And it's like God was okay with that. Why? Because he promised the tithe. He knew that Jacob was making a quality decision, and this was not going to be a decision he would go back on, that he was saying, I will tithe. When this comes into my hand, as you promised me, I will give you the tithe. Because at this point he had nothing to give to God. So now Jacob goes, and you know the story. He's going to live in the blessing. Things didn't always go his way because he got there with Laban, his future father-in-law, who was a jerk. Laban promised him stuff and didn't keep his promise. I mean, he tried to swindle him. But the blessing of the Lord, no matter what Laban tried to do to Jacob, the blessing that was upon him because of God's word to him, the blessing of the Lord was on him, and everything he did just worked out. Everything began to prosper in spite of what Laban tried to do. Remember, he says, I'll work for you for 7 years if you give me Rachel to marry. Remember that story? He worked for 7 years, and the Bible says it seemed as a few days because he loved Rachel so much. And then he gets married. They go through the ceremony. He goes in the tent at night, wakes up in the next morning, and the ugly sister's in bed with him. I mean, what? I don't even understand any of that, to tell you the truth. But all of a sudden, he's been swindled by his crooked uncle. He got the ugly girl, read the pretty girl, and Laban makes up some story and says, you know, we got to give the older one before we can give the younger one. Really, it was we got to get rid of the ugly one while we got a chance. And so he works for 7 more years before he can get Rachel. But the blessing of the Lord is upon this whole thing. Even though Leah was the ugly one, she had the most kids. She had the sons more so than Rachel did. The blessing is still at work. The Bible tells us that Laban changed Jacob's wages 10 times. Every time he'd make a deal with Jacob, he failed. He failed to keep his word. 10 times he changed his wages, but Jacob wound up being richer than the boss, even though he was the employee. The Lord gave him wisdom and showed him how to make sheep and goats produce spotted and speckled sheep and goats. You know the story, how that he took them and he put stripes and spots in front of their eyes as they were mating. The truth is, whatever you put in front of your eyes is what you will produce in your life. And so these animals, they saw spots, they saw stripes, they produced offspring that were spotted and speckled. And in the end, there were more spotted and speckled sheep and lambs and goats than there were the ones that were normal. And he became rich, so rich that he had more than his father-in-law had. God's blessing on him caused that to happen. Laban's sons got mad at Jacob because he became so rich. Fact is, they could have been blessed just like Jacob was. They were related to Abraham. They could have gone to Jacob and said, how are you doing that? We want to have that kind of success. But they didn't. They just got mad at him. Just like the world will do when you're blessed. The world doesn't like it when God blesses us because it takes us out from under their control. And so Jacob was getting ready to come out from under the control of Laban. Always remember this. The blessing of the Lord has more power than the thief. No matter who's trying to steal from you, the blessing of the Lord has more power than the thief if we stay in the blessing of the Lord. We've got to stay in it. We've got to stand in the blessing of God. We've got to stay there. Though Laban tried to keep Joseph poor and dependent upon his system, the blessing made him rich and set him free. We need to recognize that's what the blessing will do. Then, finally, he gets rich. And he says, I'm leaving. And so he takes his family and all of his stuff, and he starts going back home. And the closer he gets to coming home, now the blessing is on his life. The closer he gets, though, he gets unsure and loses his confidence in the blessing of God. God said, I'm bringing you back here. Now he's coming back, and all of a sudden he's not so sure that that's going to happen. He didn't understand how the blessing worked. He was on his way back, but he was terrified that Esau was going to kill him and his family. So as they're going back, he camps out one night. This is an amazing story to me. He camped out one night by himself. And this is taken from Genesis chapter 32, beginning in verse 24. Look what this says. It says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled with him a man until the breaking of day. Now, we know this man wasn't a man. It was an angel. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, look at this, hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. In verse 29, and Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask my name? And he blessed him there. Now, this is pretty amazing to me. Here he is. The power of the blessing is on his life. the power of the blessing is on his life so much that he has the power to wrestle an angel and not get killed. That's a pretty big power. That's something that's awesome. Now, this is amazing to me. He's afraid that Esau's going to kill him, but he's not afraid to fight with an angel. That's wacky thinking. Yet, you know, there's no reason for him to be afraid of Esau. This blessing, the power of this blessing is on him to such a degree that it doesn't matter who's there. He can prevail in this fight. Now, we understand that the angel touched him in the hollow of his thigh and he limped for the rest of his life. But he's fighting with a supernatural being in order to be sure that the blessing was his. Now, here's what I want to get to. When he was there, when he left home, he was a supplanter. When he left there, he was a deceiver. When he came back home, he was Israel. He was so sure now of the blessing, he became Israel. The blessing of God made him a prince and no longer a deceiver. It made him a prince. This is interesting. The word Israel, this is what it means literally. He will rule as God. He will rule as God. He left there a deceiver. He came back as the man who would rule as God. That is what the blessing does. It gives us the ability to rule, the ability to rule the earth. And that's just Jacob. Let's look a minute at Joseph. We know that Jacob got back there. Everything was fine between he and Esau. But in the process, Jacob has 12 sons. When he gets back, I think at that point he only had 11. But he has all these boys. He had 12 sons. They later became the 12 tribes of Israel. And we know that. But of all of those boys, only one of them chose to live in the blessing of the Lord. And that was Joseph, who at this point was the youngest one before Benjamin came along. From the time he was a young child, Joseph knew that he was blessed. He understood that he was blessed. He was the son of the wife that Joseph loved the most. And Jacob was very vocal about how much he loved Joseph. He made him a special coat that signified that his daddy loved him more than everybody else. Think about being in that family. That was a dysfunctional group. But it was his... The brothers knew it. I mean, they knew that their dad loved him. They knew that he was the favored one. In every family, somebody thinks another one gets favored more. But they knew that he was the one that he got favored. And they hated him. I mean, they despised the fact that he knew he was blessed. Genesis 37, verse 4 says, "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." They hated him. But Joseph, it didn't seem like it mattered to him. When the dad said, "Go and find out how your brothers are doing," he just went. Unafraid. He went out to them. And y'all remember this story, how Joseph had his multicolored coat on, and he goes out to find his brothers, and they get out there, and they're out there. He loved the father. He knew he was loved of the father. He knew it was good. So he gets out there and he's looking for his brothers. And they see him coming. You remember the story? And they said, "Here's the dreamer now. Let's kill him." That's what they were going to do. They were going to kill him. Now that didn't make it right. Just because their father loved him more didn't make it right to kill him. But they said, "Let's kill him. We're going to kill him." And so Reuben gets up and says, no, let's don't kill him. Let's put him in this pit over here, figure out what to do from there. So they took him and they grabbed him, and I'm guessing they beat him up. I don't know what they did, but they got him because he had told them the dream. Remember the dream he had? He had two different dreams. One dream he said, "I had this dream that we were gathering sheaves, and all of a sudden, all of your sheaves bowed to my sheave." Probably not the smartest thing to tell your brothers. But, you know, he's just a teenager. He's like 17 years old, and we find that teenagers don't always know how to keep their mouths shut. Then he has another dream, that there's the sun, the moon, and the stars. And his star was brighter than all the other stars, and the sun and the moon, and all the stars bowed down to him. And even his dad said, "So you tell me your mom and I are going to bow down to you?" not a lot of wisdom. But he's telling them his dreams. And no wonder they said, there's that dreamer now. Let's kill him. They're thinking, we're not bowing down to you. Sometimes it's tough for families when one of them gets called into the ministry, especially if one of them gets called to be a prophet. It's hard for families. You know, it's just tough when one of your brothers or one of your cousins gets called in the ministry and they're speaking prophetically. Sometimes it's tough to take it from them. I thought about this the other day. I thought, well, even if it's my cousin that's the prophet, a prophet's got to come from somebody's family. It might as well be mine. But they didn't like it. They didn't like the fact that their brother was this man who had this word from God. And you know the story. They put him in the pit. The Midianites came along with the merchants. They came along. They sold Joseph to the Midianite merchants, and they took him on in into Egypt. Now, even this was the blessing working in his life. Because Joseph is in the pit, they were going to kill him, but then they decided not to kill him. They were just going to leave him there to starve to death. And thankfully, the Midianites came along. They sold him to them so that he didn't starve to death. So he gets all the way into Egypt, and you know the story, how that he was sold to a guy named Potiphar. Let's look in Genesis chapter 39, beginning in verse 1. Let's look at this. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, bought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And it says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. This is one of the most amazing verses I've seen. He was a prosperous man. He's a slave. But the Bible says he was a prosperous man. You can pray with the blessing of the Lord, even as a slave, you prosper. He's blessed. It says that he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Now think about this for just a minute. Joseph is like 17, 18 years old, maybe 20 at the most. Here he is. He gets sold to Potiphar. I don't know how long he was there, but before long, Potiphar's like, he's got this giant ranch. And he's got cows, and he's got crops, and everything that Joseph touches increases. They get more cows, they get more crops. Everything that he gets a part of gets bigger and better. This boy, this teenager now, everything he touches is blessed. Potiphar's looking at it. Now, Potiphar may have heard about Abraham's blessing, I don't know, but he may have heard that. But everything Joseph does gets blessed. Everything grows in the hands of this little boy. It says, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him and made him overseer over his house and all that he put into his hand. Think about it. Joseph is now the CEO of this big ranch that Potiphar has. He's a young man, but because of the blessing of the Lord, he is promoted to the top ahead of everybody who's been there for many years. Where did Joseph learn how to multiply cattle? He didn't. The blessing did it for him. Where did he learn how to keep books the way he did? It was the blessing. Where did he learn how to be the foreman of a ranch? It's the blessing that did it to him. What did he know about agriculture? Well, perhaps he knew from his father, but they were sheep herders, according to the scripture. But the Lord gave him supernatural insight over everything. It says, it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Why? Because Joseph was blessed. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Here you go. The blessing of the Lord is on Joseph's life. He gets involved in circumstances that are not necessarily circumstances that he would choose. Sold into slavery by his brothers, taken away from his home, but the blessing of the Lord is so much in operation on him that the blessing works even in the difficult situation. It made him prosperous even though he was a slave. Everything that God put into his hands, or Potiphar put in his hand, God blessed it. Here's the key to that. You've got to be doing something with your hands for God to bless it. He was working. He was doing it, and God blessed everything that he did. Even though it wasn't the thing that Joseph really wanted, it was the blessing came to him. I mean, this Potiphar was a heathen man, no covenant with God. But because of the covenant man who was blessed, Potiphar was blessed. Wherever we are, that's where the blessing is. Wherever we go, wherever we work, whatever we're doing, there's blessing on that. The blessing makes our companies blessed. The blessing makes our city blessed. The blessing of God makes all of that work. The blessing of God gives us promotions, gives us raises. When everyone else is being laid off, when everybody else's hours are being cut, they're giving us more. Or if they cut hours, the money keeps coming when we don't even understand it because of the blessing of the Lord. But Joseph didn't sit down and start crying and pouting when he got sold into slavery. He still hung in there because he knew that he had this dream from God and he knew the blessing was on him. The blessing on Joseph's life made Potiphar trust him with everything that he had. Potiphar didn't even know how much money he had. All he knew was how much food was on his plate. And he knew that Joseph was taking care of it. Everything increased under him. Man, everything happened because the blessing of God was on him. But you know how the devil is. When you start, the blessing goes to work. He goes to work trying to stop it. Potiphar's wife thought he was cute, decided she wanted to have a relationship with him, so she falsely accused him of trying to rape her. It's interesting. Joseph refused her advances because Joseph knew something that a lot of Christians don't know. Sin hinders the blessing. We can't expect to walk in the favor and the blessing of God and to live our lives in sin. Thankfully, the blood of Jesus is available for us, but Joseph refused to get in sin because he didn't want to have the blessing choked off. Didn't want to make him unable to do what God called him to do. And you know the story. Joseph was then thrown into prison. But then, even then, the blessing of the Lord could not be stopped. Joseph stayed with it. He stayed faithful. He continued to walk with God. Genesis chapter 39, verse 21 says, "But the Lord was with Joseph." This is in prison. "And showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was a doer of it." In other words, Joseph, the prisoner, is in charge of the prison. Verse 23, "The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." That's amazing to me. Joseph is now so blessed in the prison that now everything he does prospers in the prison. And you know the rest of the story, how that the butler came and the baker came from Pharaoh and they were thrown in jail. And Joseph never even got unhappy over the situation. How do I know? Because he went to the baker and the butler one day and they had a dream and they were sad because of the dream. And Joseph says, "Why are you so sad?" He must not have been sad. He said, "Why are you sad?" And they said, "I had a dream. We don't know what it's about." He interpreted their dreams. One of them was going to die. One of them was going to live. And he told the one that was going to live, he said, "When you get there, remember me." But he forgot him. That would have been a reason to give up, wouldn't it? But Joseph never gave up. He believed the blessing of God was going to do its job, and he was going to wind up where he was supposed to. And he knew that he saw those brothers bowing to him. He knew that he knew it. And so he never gave up on the dream. He never got down. He never began to think, is it ever going to happen? He stayed with it. And sure enough, one day, Pharaoh has the dream. And they called Joseph because the butler finally remembered that Joseph interpreted his dream. They called him. You know the story. He interpreted the dream. He was promoted that day from the prison to being the vice Pharaoh of all of Egypt. He was second in charge of a whole nation because the blessing of God was at work in his life. He was the blessed. And what did the blessing do? It empowered him to rise to the highest place wherever he was. Whether he was at Potiphar's house, in the prison, or in the palace, he rose to the highest place because that's what the blessing will do. Now, that was the blessing that was on Abraham, that came to Isaac, that came to Jacob, now is in Joseph's life, and it caused him to rise to the highest place. Some people say that God brought Joseph to Egypt so he could bless him. No, that's not true. God brought Joseph to Egypt so the blessing in Joseph would save their lives. We need to understand the blessing in our lives is bigger than we think it is, and it is that blessing that is the hope for our nation. The blessing of the Lord empowered him to rise to the top. The devil did everything in his power to stop the blessing of the Lord from working, but it wouldn't stop it. Even though he knocked Joseph down, Joseph rose again every single time back to the highest place. Maybe you've been knocked down. Maybe it seems like it's not going to work, but we can never give up on the blessing because it will do the work and will take us where we're supposed to be. It's possible because God wants his people blessed. We'll close with this passage of Scripture, Galatians 3, 13 and 14. We've looked at this every week. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that, this is why Jesus hung on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. In Romans chapter 4, we saw clearly that the promise of the Spirit to Abraham was that he was the heir of the world. We have to recognize the blessing of the Lord on our lives will take us to the highest place, but we have to be like Joseph. We cannot quit. We have to stay with it no matter what. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, tonight we thank you for the blessing of the Lord. We thank you, God, that you have empowered us to rise to the highest place. We refuse to take a look at our circumstances right now and make a decision that those circumstances prove that it doesn't work. We choose to look at your word, and if our circumstances don't line up with the word, we declare to them, we are the blessed of the Lord. We refuse anything but what you promised us. We have right now the blessing of Abraham. And we will walk in it, we will move in it, and we will see the manifestation of that blessing of the Lord in everything that we do. Father, we thank you for it tonight. I thank you for those that are here. We believe you in Jesus' name. Amen.